Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show here on the BBS Radio Network, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you. If you'd like to call into the show, the phone number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. I wanted to make a few statements about the quality of our transmissions. I'm told the live broadcasts of my shows have been okay, but we seem to be having some problem with the recorded podcast where some words and phrases become slurred or are dropped occasionally during the dialogues. We continue to work at correcting this problem and ask for your indulgence while we work out the bugs. Now on to the show. I want to start off with a discussion of the tragedies of the El Paso and Dayton mass shootings last weekend, which set off a massive wave of mainstream media-driven hatred against whites, President Trump and Republicans, the NRA, and America as we have known it. And these events were used to breathe new life into the left's supposed public enemies, the left-created concepts of white nationalism and white supremacy. Although the cries of white nationalism and white supremacy died down somewhat in regard to the Dayton shooting when it was revealed that the Dayton shooter was a Democrat, self-proclaimed socialist, and supporter of Elizabeth Warren. The El Paso shooter posted a manifesto on the internet shortly before committing his atrocity in which he declared a Hispanic invasion of the U.S. was occurring and then specifically targeted Hispanics in his massacre at the El Paso Walmart. The shooters, both young Caucasian men, nevertheless became perfect fodder for the left's ongoing racism against whites. Its efforts to create racial divisiveness and its push for open borders, madness, and socialism. In short, these shootings were all but made to order for the left. They were used for an orgy of mainstream media hysteria and propaganda to promote gun bans, endless legal and illegal immigration from the third world, again, hatred for whites, and the left's ideal of establishing America as a socialist utopia. The leftist elitist con man Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke lost no time exploiting the situation and blaming, you knew it, the racist and anti-immigrant President Trump, Republicans, and conservative media. Here's Beto giving yet another news conference to blast Trump, an attempt to shame those who voted for and support the president into silence and capitulation in the face of the international political left's well-funded attempts to overwhelm our southern border with millions of phony asylum seekers who can be relied upon to support the left's policies. Play soundbite one, please.
This is motivated by hatred, by racism, by an intolerance that is foreign to El Paso, and in fact had to be brought somewhere else into this community to do something like what we are seeing right now. And so I would just say that in addition to everything that we're doing for our fellow El Pasoans right now and meeting them in this time of suffering and need and crisis, in addition to making sure that we change our laws so that it's harder for something like this to happen again, I think we also have to ask ourselves about the level of hatred and racism that we're seeing in this country right now that could lead to an event like the one that we saw here today. And that is on all of us to both call out and to stop, and in our case in El Paso, to be the example of how we don't just respect one another, we embrace our differences as the very source of our strength. So could not be more proud of El Paso and the way that we're responding to this tragedy today. Happy to take your questions.
Sir, regarding the manifesto and everything that was in it, fears about Hispanic immigration and all that, does any of this fall at the feet of President Donald Trump and his rhetoric that's been growing over the last couple weeks and his alleged racist tweets and other rhetoric?
Yes. had over hate crimes every single one of the last 3 years during an administration where you have a president who's called Mexicans rapists and criminals. Though Mexican immigrants commit crimes at a far lower rate than those born here in the country, he has tried to make us afraid of them to some real effect and consequence. Attempting to ban all Muslims from this country, the day that he signed that executive order, the mosque in Victoria, Texas, was burned to the ground. Those chants that we heard in Greenville, North Carolina, send her back, talking about our fellow American citizens duly elected to represent their constituents in the Congress, who happen to be women of color. He is a racist, and he stokes racism in this country. And it does not just offend our sensibilities. It fundamentally changes the character of this country, and it leads to violence.
Now, he makes it sound like Trump is declaring that all Mexicans are criminals, which is an outrageous lie. And Trump, under no circumstances, has ever banned all Muslims from this country. I'm sorry. Trump's temporary ban on people from majority Muslim countries which were associated with terrorism until a better vetting process could be developed was upheld by the Supreme Court, by the way. But of course, don't waste your facts on old Beto. Before flying back to El Paso from Michigan, where he was campaigning for the Democratic presidential nomination, the job Beto said he was born to do, he spoke to reporters declaring that he was overwhelmed with emotion about the El Paso massacre and that it was difficult for him to speak about it. On the surface, it may have looked to many that Beto was sincerely overcome with grief, but to me, when he seemed to cover his mouth and look away from the camera briefly, it appeared he was, at the very least, insincere. I almost thought, though, that he was smiling. Here was the proverbial perfect storm, the perfect crime and tragedy that the former congressman from El Paso could exploit for all it was worth to reinvigorate his failing presidential campaign and promote himself and the left's causes. And of course, the leftist-dominated mainstream media couldn't wait to jump in and engage in a feeding frenzy. Immediately, the internet and TV were filled with such headlines as, "Some liberals blame Republicans on social media following two deadly shootings over the weekend." Here are some quotes from the internet article accompanying that headline. A gunman opened fire at an El Paso, Texas shopping area Saturday, killing 20 and injuring at least 26. A shooter killed 9 people and injured 26 in downtown Dayton, Ohio, Sunday morning. Many on social media put blame on conservatives, President Donald Trump, Fox News, and others. The alleged El Paso shooter, identified as 21-year-old Patrick Crucius, is believed to be a white nationalist, and some blame various conservatives such as Fox News host Tucker Carlson for spurring on the attack with talking points. Others blame Republicans for supporting the National Rifle Association. John Cooper, chairman of the Democratic Coalition, tweeted at Vice President Mike Pence, blaming him, Trump, and Republicans. He wrote, "The blood of innocent victims is on your hands." First daughter Ivanka Trump tweeted her condolences following the two shootings, prompting David Rothkopf, a professor and founder of the Rothkopf Group, to reply that this is on you and ask how she would explain it to her children. Democratic Senator, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker also weighed in, saying Donald Trump was responsible for the shootings. "Trump is responsible," Booker, a 2020 presidential candidate, said on NBC News Sunday. "He is responsible when he has taken no action whatsoever to even condemn white supremacy. We have a president who is responsible. If any of the El Paso's alleged language or words or talking points sound familiar, it's because they are used by Trump, Fox News, and right-wing media." 2020 presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke blamed Donald Trump for the shootings as well as Fox News when he spoke to CNN's Jake Tapper Sunday morning. "The open racism that we're seeing, there's an environment of it in the United States. We see it on Fox News. We see it on the internet. Trump is encouraging this. He doesn't just tolerate it. He encourages it," O'Rourke, a former Texas representative, said on CNN Sunday. Angelo Carusone, president of the left-wing Media Matters for America, also blamed Fox News and right-wing media for the El Paso attack. "Fox fuels white supremacy and extremism," Carusone tweeted. "A big part of why this country is bubbling over with extremists these days can be traced to white-wing media." Got that? White-wing media. Ever notice how any criticism of the crisis at the border, is invariably branded as racist. As one CNN commentator stated, Trump is a racist, and anyone who votes for him is a racist. Case closed. And as you just heard, Beto's declaration was heartily piled on with support by his fellow leftists in their usual attempt to intimidate their critics into silence and submission. It's leftist Democrat politicians like O'Rourke who are stoking the fires of racism in this country as they constantly rail against those who oppose their favorite policies of endless mass legal and illegal immigration from the third world. After all, these people are their constituents who are needed to bring about the socialist utopia the hypocrite Beto and his ilk dream of. Now, is Beto going to give up his fabulous wealth to the hordes of desperately poor people pouring across our border? What do you think? It's your wealth he wants to redistribute to all those people. More fraud and hypocrisy by the left. As I said, the El Paso gunman was all but made for the left. They couldn't have dreamed of a better boogeyman to be used against their opponents. This invariably will give rise to conspiracy theories that the gunman is some kind of Manchurian candidate duped by hidden forces on the left into committing his horrible crime so that he can be used for maximum political and ideological gain. Frankly, I can't discount such theories, given how such monsters are made to order for the arguments of the left. As the events of the El Paso tragedy unfolded, I was also struck by a concern for the apparent lack of security at the Walmart store where he attacked. The gunman himself, in his manifesto, spoke of the need to, quote, attack low security targets. Even though you might outgun a security guard or policeman, they likely beat you in armor, training, and numbers. Don't throw away your life on an unnecessarily dangerous target. If a target seems too hot, live to fight another day, end quote. Now, this coward's manifesto exhorts others to follow his footsteps and perpetrate attacks like this, which may have spurred the Dayton, Ohio shooter to commit his attack only hours later, killing 9 more people and injuring numerous others. With the media's nonstop rapt attention coverage of the El Paso shooting, why wouldn't other psychos out there want to jump in and become famous also? What the mainstream media wouldn't talk about is that the Dayton shooter was a Democrat and a self-professed socialist who supposedly deplored gun violence and supported Elizabeth Warren for president. He was also a devil worshiper and confessed to a girlfriend that he suffered from mental illness. The frenzied, nonstop coverage of the El Paso and Dayton shootings went on for days afterward, with many hateful leftist commentators weighing in, including one declaring that President Trump was calling for the killing of Hispanics. The left made such a push with all this, it was clear they now have a new boogeyman and weapon to use against the political right: white nationalism, white supremacists, and white racism. Conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh has had some interesting thoughts on this. Here are some from his August 8th radio show. Will you please play soundbite 3?
And so the conventional wisdom among leftists is that everybody hates Trump and that they are succeeding in causing people to abandon Trump. This stuff, this white supremacy, this white nationalism, it has replaced Russian collusion, folks. That's now gone. That bombed out. There was never anything to it in the first place. But you know why it's gone? Because with white supremacy and white nationalism, you don't need any evidence, and you don't need a special counsel, and you don't need an investigation. You just need a whole bunch of people making the allegation. And then you need your sycophantic media amplifying it all. You don't need 2 years and a bunch of leaks from a bunch of invisible intel community people to the New York Times claiming Trump colluded with Russia. All the way. You don't need a fake dossier that can't be verified. You just need a bunch of people saying it.
The left's intent here is clearly part of its ongoing campaign to turn non-Caucasians against Caucasians to gain more support for the now leftist-controlled Democratic Party. You often hear the phrase "people of color" used by the left in this campaign. Here are a few interesting passages about this concept from the Freedom Center's David Horowitz in his new book, Dark Agenda: The War to Destroy Christian America. He states, quote, "The left has also coined the phrase people of color to facilitate its anti-white racism. Like sexism, this term, too, has entered the general language. the phrase is not grammatical English, nor is it nor does it define a coherent group with a common social identity or interest. The Tutsis and Hutus of Rwanda are both people of color, but the Hutus carried out a genocide in which they massacred 1 million Tutsis. People of color is an ideological device whose sole purpose is to promote the idea that people of color are a group oppressed by the only people who are not of color, white people. People of color obscures the fact that white majorities in America supported and in fact architected the Civil Rights Acts and have helped to create a society in which black Americans have more rights and opportunities and privileges than blacks in any other country in the world, even those ruled by blacks. People of color, with this implication that blacks are still oppressed, obscures the reality that the majority of blacks in America are successful as the result of choices freely made in a free society, while a smaller underclass of blacks have somehow not been able to take advantage of the same opportunities. In other words, people of color is a term designed to obscure the fact that people have choices regardless of color for which they are responsible. Bottom line, people of color is a racist term that should have no place in American culture of equal rights. It is a term created by people who are at war with this culture. Now, I realize the hysterical push by the left for immediate legislation passing so-called red flag laws and enhanced background checks is a cover for the most draconian and restrictive legislation possible. And contrary to the claims of leftists like Ohio Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown that, quote, we know background checks work, unquote, they in fact don't always work. The Texas man who recently slaughtered people in a church where he was looking for his ex-mother-in-law was able to buy guns despite being dishonorably discharged from the Air Force for violent acts and mental illness. But this information was kept out of his background check to protect his privacy rights, as I understand it. The young man mass shooter at the high school in Florida was also able to buy a gun despite reportedly threatening to kill someone and the police being called to his residence almost 40 times for various disturbances. He was never arrested because of a reported liberal, that is left wing, policy of keeping him and others out of the, quote, school to prison pipeline, unquote. While any such legislation must be carefully crafted to protect us, I have to agree that the above-mentioned individuals should have been weeded out from legal firearms purchases. Violent, mentally ill people, those who have criminal records, and those who make credible threats of violence and murder should be denied the right to purchase and possess firearms. Remember the Supreme Court, at least the then conservative majority on it, in finding that the Second Amendment was an individual right, also held that that right was not without, quote, reasonable restrictions, end quote. The question is, just what are reasonable restrictions? These are questions that should be carefully considered when such legislation is being created. As I said, there are numerous factors to be considered in working to find ways to deny firearms ownership to the wrong people, including such things as criminal acts and the need to charge people committing these acts. The prescribing of powerful mind-altering psychotropic drugs, the role of social media and other sources of hate that can stir up the wrong people to act out, mental illness, the need for ways to identify these people before they are able to commit atrocities, the need for well-trained, competent armed security and security in general at public gatherings, and so on. Despite all this, the El Paso and Dayton shooters were made for the left and have generated such a hysterical and unrelenting response in the media and elsewhere that I have to wonder if their actions were somehow, in some way that will perhaps never be revealed, influenced by individuals and dark forces working behind the scenes to spur them on to committing these shootings. Here's the immediate take of Alex Jones of Infowars.com on the subject. Now, yes, Jones has been banned from social media for allegedly promoting hate, while at the same time the outrageous hatreds fomented by the left, including Antifa, short for anti-fascist groups, get to keep their social media accounts. But I don't see Jones promoting any hate. He does have concerns about possible conspiracies by the left and globalists, etc. Let's listen to Jones on the day after the El Paso shooting. This recording seems to have been done from his kitchen or somewhere similar, and the sound quality is not nearly as good as when he speaks from the high-quality microphones in his studio. But I found the comments nevertheless interesting. Maybe that's why millions still follow him. Please play soundbite 2.
NBC News is reporting that Patrick Crucius, a young man from Texas, is the confirmed individual who is the main suspect for the massacre that's killed at least 19 people and over 40 injured, that's now being reported in El Paso, Texas, that is the focal point of our collapsed border. Now, first off, obviously, InfoWars does not endorse offensive violence. I think this is a real tragedy. It's disgusting. This individual's manifesto, within minutes of the event happening, was being shared all over Instagram, all over Facebook, all over Twitter, where he demonizes Hispanics and acts like Hispanics are the enemy of America. No, it's the political ideology of the left that takes immigrants to this country and brainwashes them and turns them against it that is the enemy. It's not the color of the people's skin. And so if you wanted to help the left and help the globalists at a perfect time when their whole agenda is collapsing, this is how you do it. It's like the tragic events at Christchurch, which we're not supposed to investigate or look at. How did this man travel the world with no job for years? How did he get into New Zealand, that's highly controlled, with all these weapons, some of which were illegal and couldn't be bought in stores? And why asking questions about it is so forbidden? I'm not even saying that Christchurch didn't happen. I'm not saying that this guy wasn't the only shooter. I don't know. I've never seen such secrecy. Now, you look at the events where the bodies aren't even cold yet of these poor people who were just at Walmart being killed by this individual, supposedly, allegedly. And if we even say alleged, which is the law to say alleged until he's convicted, well, we're saying nobody died and we're saying crisis actors were there. NBC reports Patrick Crucius, the leftist savior who just shows up right at the moment when the left is being exposed, when our whole agenda is falling apart, and when Trump is defending our borders, supposedly as evil racists, right as Antifa announces nationwide, funded by Alexander Soros, that they are going to be marching and across the U.S. and meeting September 1st in like 26 days in El Paso to crush the Border Patrol and to lay siege to them. These are quotes. They put out graphics showing American flags burning. They put out graphics showing dead ICE officers. And I said, what are they planning to stage? I said this on Friday's show. What are they planning to stage? And on Thursday's show, what are they planning to stage ahead of Antifa showing up right on time at El Paso so that it looks legitimate when they attack physically the ICE agents and call them Nazis and say kids are drinking out of toilets and the people are being killed when they're actually coming here from the countries that are collapsing? And I saw a new FBI report that came out saying that conspiracy theorists are the big terror threat in America and that it's QAnon that's the threat. When you've had a few obvious schizophrenics go and commit crimes, believing that Trump ordered them to do it, when it's obvious that the whole Q movement is a bunch of leftist intelligence ops jerking people's chains. I've been saying this is all coming. This person could be completely just wound up by all the media and all the Civil War talk and the Democrats saying, go out and kill Republicans, and the Democrats saying, kill more than just Scalise and kill Trump and it's time to fight dirty. I mean, these are all the quotes, and it's time for a physical revolution. Joe Biden, you see all these statements. So just making statements like that can trigger unhinged other people to then go out and carry out violence. Or, as has happened in other parts of history, this could be totally staged. Operation Northwoods, declassified in 2001, broke down how the U.S. government planned to stage mass shootings and bombings across the U.S., to blame on Cubans to then trigger a war with the Soviet Union. Kennedy said no to the plan, but it was greenlit to his level, ABC News. You've seen countless other events like Jesse Smollett staging an attack on himself or staged attacks on the Air Force Academy cadets. And we know that this is something that happens throughout history. So asking the question is completely normal. I don't know what really happened here, but I know this. In the last 10 years, 200 plus thousand people have died in Mexico that we know of. Another 500,000 are missing. There's mass graves all across the border with Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California. No one humanizes the hundreds of thousands of dead. No one humanizes the 80% of women, according to Amnesty International, that come up through Mexico that are raped. No one humanizes it and makes it racial because it's Hispanics killing Hispanics. But now you have this Greek individual, if it's him, saying, well, we're in a war, and so Hispanics are our enemies. That's asinine. Most Texans I talk to that are Hispanic actually love Texas and know we have to have a border and know that Mexico has a border. And it's a media lie that they don't like Trump. Double the number of Hispanic Americans in polls have been supporting Trump. And Trump's had nothing but open arms for everybody. if they come here legally. And so there is a global movement to take the guns. There is a global movement to break borders by the UN and have corporations control it. And this whole thing at this time is extremely, extremely suspicious.
Now, I have to ask, were these shooters wiped out on psychotropic drugs? Were they having ideas planted in their heads by people working undercover? Were they being encouraged or egged on to act out by shadowy people in chat rooms on the so-called dark web? These are all questions that could, in my opinion, and should be asked, but will they ever be asked? In discussing these horrific events, we need to keep in mind that mass shootings and other massacres happen all over the world. Mass killings are relatively commonplace in Mexico, for example, but they happen in Europe, Asia, Africa, and elsewhere too often as well. I believe the world record for such slaughters is still held by a South Korean described in a news article as a sergeant, not sure whether he was military or police, who in the early 1980s, as I recall, was reported to have killed and wounded more than 200 people in what was described as a drunken rampage with rifles and grenades. Now, I believe we have a caller who might like to speak about some of this. Jonathan, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm honored to be able to speak with you this day, one of so many days of infamy that we must trudge through as best we can. How are you today?
I'm great, and thank you very much for coming on the show. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I'd like very much to suggest an actual solution. Imagine that, a solution to one of so many of our problems. But first, it's a solution regarding this thing you've been talking about, which is very serious, which is the mass shootings. But first, I would like to give you an idea of how littered our days have become, littered with an endless number of troubles that just keep piling up all around us. Here are a few examples just to lead into it, because it's the atmosphere that's created for the shootings, the atmosphere that we all live in. Here is a quote. If we only counted U.S. citizens in the census instead of foreign nationals, California, New York, and Illinois would lose a combination of 18 electoral votes. This is why the Democrats want illegals to be counted in the census. Now, that was written by Charlie Kirk. He's been doing some tremendous things on the Internet. And has even been on Fox News, and one of his compatriots has been doing some great things out there called Candace Owens. In fact, I've even got one of her videos on my Facebook page. She's doing a great job. Anyway, another example of these problems. Here is something else I would like to quote from the Internet. And I don't have to get permission because I'm the one that wrote it. So I give myself permission right as of now. Epstein committed convenient suicide? Epstein committed convenient suicide? He had all the facts on the sexual participation of the Clinton group and the Democrat left in general. As with others who came before him, he somehow managed to conveniently kill himself, even though he was under close 24/7 video suicide watch. Similar stories have repeated themselves many, many times before. And you may be a little put back by some of that, I guess, because you think we are a nation of law and order, right? Well, where do you think you are? In America? Or maybe I should say, America, where have you gone? There's some of these things I get on the Internet and I get on Facebook and LinkedIn and my website and all these other places. Get as many as 2 or 3 million views at a time. So I guess there are a couple of people, at least 2.5 people out there, we're paying attention. I don't know how that happened, but there they are. Here's one other thing that would be of interest to you, I think. former Obama officials currently advising Iran on how to counter our country. They are architects of the Iran nuclear deal secured by former President Barack Hussein Obama. These officials have been in talks with Iran officials over the past 2 months. These are former officials of Barack Obama, including the foreign minister of Iran, and both over the phone and live. And they are very much interested in defeating the United States efforts and having Iran come out on top. Isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you? Don't you feel warm hearing about that? They don't identify. They we're trying to get them to identify, but they're not identifying, and they're trying to hold back on who these people are. But that'll come out. Just give it a little time. Another thing, 38 states have more voters registered than they have adult citizens. A good example in California, 1,736,556. Well, that's not just 2.5 little votes, is it? No. Well, you see, now that's the environment we have. And you wonder why we have all these mass shootings. Everything is falling apart. Well, here is what I've got all over the internet right now, and it's been getting a tremendous following. This is the latest thing I've been putting out. I'm going to read it to you now. Considering a genuine solution to mass shootings. In 1984, 21 people were killed in what was then the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. It occurred in San Diego area where I live, following that terror-filled event. This writer prepared and released a detailed study of this event and events similar to this in general, suggesting that most perpetrators of this sort of crime leave behavioral footprints that lead directly to the acts well in advance. This report suggested that we should take immediate steps to upgrade our behavioral sciences and our legal system in a manner that will enable us to identify and intersect such behavior before such horrendous acts can be committed. Yes, it isn't easy. It's not going to be an easy solution. It is difficult, and it is complex. But it is what this writer sincerely believes it will take. The report was released to the local daily paper, the wire services, and the local television stations. The result? No one, not a single person in the media, absolutely no one paid any attention at all. And now today, we see the terrible results of that willful neglect. Is there any chance that this genuine approach to a real solution might finally be considered and acted upon? What do you think? Well, it's amazing, isn't it? I wrote that in 1984, that report. It was here in San Diego, where I am right now. It was the largest mass shooting at the time. If we had gotten busy, if we had gotten off our duff and stopped just complaining, if we had really decided to get involved, we wouldn't be having these mass murders now, I'm convinced. But no, most Americans would rather complain about the problem or come up with weird solutions, like the best way to take care of the mass shooters is to take away our guns, not considering, of course, the guns of the mass shooters who can get them just about anywhere they want, or other criminals who have marvelous sources. No, but take away our guns. Make us completely vulnerable. That's going to solve the problem. Oh, boy, aren't you going to feel good about that? Yeah. Well, the vast, vast majority of all of the mass murders or other major killings have occurred in so-called gun-free zones. Boy. Well, that's what we're up against. And now the question is, are we just going to complain and we're going to say, oh, this is terrible, somebody should do something about it, and not do anything, not try to engage the problem with our behavioral science community and with the legal system, not bother to actually try for a solution, but just sit back and moan as we watch the bodies pile up, as we have been doing for the last few years? Are you, the listener, tired of watching the bodies pile up? Would you like to do something about it? Or are you going to continue to watch the bodies pile up? That is the question. Not a nice thought. This is not a pleasant conversation. It's not what I'd like to say. It's not the way I'd like things to be. But, you know, ever since 1984, I've realized nobody seems to give a damn, especially in the media. The media has a viewpoint that if it bleeds, it leads. Well, looking for solutions, that's not a situation where it bleeds. So it doesn't lead. In fact, it doesn't even get any attention at all. And that's where we are. That's how it is. And what do you think about that?
Didn't you tell me that you also recently had your social media account taken down because you brought some of this up?
Oh, as a matter of fact, that's true. This particular piece that I have read to you, just this last piece here, that was presented on Facebook, and it was on a lot of other places too, but it was also on Facebook. And for a while, they cut that out completely. It was gone. But I didn't know. I thought it was going to be gone, and that was it. Now I have to be satisfied with other places where it wasn't cut out. But evidently, a lot of people got pretty upset. I was amazed. So many got upset that they brought it back. They changed their mind and brought back the solution to the mass shootings. Isn't that interesting? Only under pressure. And I hadn't raised even a word. I thought that was it. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I should become more active. Seems so.
Well, I'm glad that you did get it put back on there. Jonathan, I greatly appreciate your coming on the show today and your comments. Obviously, there are many things to be considered. I don't see why we can't do more, and I think there will be more done to stop these massacres, and it takes a lot of different things, and I'm hoping that some of what you said there will be taken seriously by people here or elsewhere where you have posted this information. Well, thanks very much for your call, and moving on. I agree, let's do whatever we can to keep weapons out of the hands of these people, and I'm sure there's a lot that can and needs to be done in this regard. But at the same time, let's not succumb to the left's hate campaign to outright ban all firearms for everyone. The hysterical left-wing that is mainstream media attention no doubt encourages other monsters out there to act. These people often cite the massacres of others in their postings on the internet, as the El Paso shooter did, praising the recent mosque shooter in New Zealand, who also issued a manifesto. And he was mentioned somewhat by Alex Jones just now. A New York Post article claims that white males are primarily the culprits in mass shootings, but that is not supported by the data I've seen, nor by historical facts. It's not just white males. Blacks and other ethnicities and women also commit these shootings. The Virginia Tech shooter of a few years ago was a Korean immigrant, and the most recent Virginia Beach municipal massacre was committed by a black man. Many of these people are dosed with psychotropic drugs. The mainstream media, for the most part, doesn't dare discuss this, as Big Pharma's lucrative advertising is a big part of their revenue streams, literally billions annually. 40 million Americans are currently on powerful mind-altering drugs for depression and anxiety. This isn't to say that people aren't being helped, but why the epidemic of psychotropic drugs these days? One reason is money. Profits for these drug makers and Wall Street. It's time to consider the role of these powerful drugs in many of these mass shootings, since so many mass shooters turn out to be prescribed them. And yes, it's not just white males committing these heinous acts, but there is a cultural war against them. I say this is contributing to a tremendous sense of alienation. It's getting tougher and tougher to find good-paying, meaningful work in this country for everyone. Yet left-wing hacks and panderers like O'Rourke want this, as they promote their idea of a socialist utopia. The middle class must cease to exist if their madness is to be brought about. See, they want a large underclass of poor people who they can manipulate and who will support their policies. As I said, these mass shooter cowards pick places where there's poor or no security, referred to as soft targets by one law enforcement commentator, and called for by the El Paso shooter, who urged copycats to pick targets with low security. As I noted earlier, he stated in his manifesto that the security of a target you pick is – that if the security of a target you pick is strong, then avoid it and, quote, live to fight another day, unquote. There's a real need for well-trained, determined armed security at any public gathering. This is the world we live in. If nothing else, we need some kind of security in all these places where we can bring in law enforcement as rapidly as possible. But let's not forget that through all this, that America is still among the safest and most prosperous places on earth, where so-called minorities, that is anyone who isn't Caucasian, have been and are treated far better overall than the places they and their ancestors came from. Sure, there's racism and bigotry and discrimination out there. Do you want to hear about how I've suffered under these evils? Probably not. I have to believe the left's ongoing cultural, political, and economic race war against whites, and particularly the hated white males, played a part in the young El Paso shooter's actions. Let's look at just a few examples of this race war. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Hollywood hero, director Michael Kill Whitey Moore. In his book, Stupid White Men and Other Sorry Excuses for the State of the Nation, Moore has a chapter titled Kill Whitey. In it, he states, "White people scare the crap out of me. This may be hard for you to understand considering that I am white, but then again, my color gives me a certain insight. For instance, I find myself pretty scary a lot of the time, so I know what I'm talking about. You can take my word for it. If you find yourself suddenly surrounded by white people, you better watch out. Anything can happen." Elsewhere in the chapter, he states, "I don't think I'm the only white guy who can make these claims. Every mean word, every cruel act, every bit of pain and suffering in my life has had a Caucasian face attached to it." And later in the same chapter, he also adds, "You name the problem, the disease, the human suffering, or the abject misery visited upon millions, and I'll bet you $10 I can find a white face on it. I can put a white face on it better than you can name the members, faster than you can name the members of NSYNC." That's the rock music group. We also have tenured professors at prestigious universities, one of whom admitted he was a communist, but of course he has a nice salary. He's not going to give it to the poor people, who have called for white genocide, although that was supposedly a figure of speech. And then another one called for sterilization of white people. And these are white people themselves. Talk about hate speech, huh? This brings me to the Democrat presidential debates in recent weeks. I have to admit I didn't watch the debates, which I knew would be ridiculous and crazy. The hard left Democratic Party is now, as former Marxist David Horowitz of the Freedom Center says, the Communist Party. Here are a few excerpts from the debates presented by Infowars.com. And you've probably seen some of these elsewhere. Kirsten Gillibrand, the New York senator, states, "The first thing that I'm going to do when I'm president is I'm going to Clorox the Oval Office." Jay Inslee, governor of Washington State, says, "Our house is on fire. We have to stop using coal in 10 years, and we need a president to do it, or it won't get done. Get off coal. Save this country and the planet." Joe Biden, who has recently called for doubling the amount of legal immigration into the country, says Obamacare is working. And there's Julian Castro, who says, quote, I don't want to make America anything again. I don't want us to go backward. See, you're going backward if you try to improve the country. We're not going back to that past. We're not going back to the past. We're not going back where we came from. We're going to move forward. Andrew Yang states, we need to do the opposite of much of what we're doing right now, and the opposite of Donald Trump is an Asian man who likes math. Kamala Harris, quote, what we need is someone who's going to be on the debate stage with Donald Trump and defeat him by being able to prosecute the case against 4 more years. And let me tell you, we've got a long rap sheet. Cory Booker, quote, we have a real crisis in our country, and the crisis is Donald Trump. But not only Donald Trump. I have a frustration that sometimes people are saying that the only thing they want is to beat Donald Trump. Well, that is the floor and not the ceiling. And from comrade Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York City, quote, if we're going to beat Donald Trump, this has to be a party that stands for something. The party of labor unions. This has to be the party of universal health care. This has to be the party that's not afraid to say out loud, we're going to tax the hell out of the wealthy. And when we do that, Donald Trump, right on cue, will call us socialists. Here's what I say to him, Donald, you're the real socialist. And it goes on. You heard a lot of them. These people are all very left-wing, but also very rich at the same time. And they're going to get richer by running for president, even though most of them know they're not going to make it, don't have much support. They can then, though, go out and write books and give speeches and get even more wealthy. They are playing to the mainstream media. Shocking thing is, tens of millions will vote for whoever among them gets the nomination. Where do such people come from, and how do they get elected? One reason is the longstanding brainwashing and inculcating of gullible Americans and non-citizens by the mainstream media, the drive-bys, as Rush Limbaugh calls them, by Hollywood, our educational institutions, social networks, with big tech obviously playing a major role. All these institutions are now all but dominated by incredibly rich, powerful forces on the political left. Here's just one example of this long-time brainwashing. Listen to this segment from CBS's Madam Secretary drama. Now, CBS says Madam Secretary stars Tia Leone as Elizabeth McCord, the shrewd, determined Secretary of State who drives international diplomacy and circumvents protocol as she negotiates global and domestic issues, both at the White House and at home. A college professor and a brilliant former CIA analyst who left for ethical reasons, Elizabeth returned to public life at the request of President Conrad Dalton, who values McCord's apolitical leanings and deep knowledge of the Middle East, etc., etc. Infowars.com captured this gem from one of their episodes. The caption to the video audio clip from the CBS drama reads on Infowars, Alex Jones presents propaganda from CBS's political brainwashing show, Madam Secretary, where the corporate network reminds the audience that nationalism is bad, just in case they miss the other thought programming across the mainstream media landscape. On Infowars, Alex Jones is watching as the clip is played and breaks in to add his commentary. The scene shows the esteemed Secretary McCord speaking at a press conference on the evils of nation states and equating them with hate, racism, and inferred white supremacy. Would you play soundbite 4, please?
What is an even greater threat than nuclear weapons? That which makes the use of them possible. Hate. Specifically, the blind hatred one group or nation can have for another. And that is why I am convinced that nationalism is the existential threat of our time. I want to be clear. Nationalism is not the same as patriotism. It's a perversion of patriotism. Nationalism, the belief system held by those who attacked us, promotes the idea that inclusion and diversity represent weakness, that the only way to succeed is to give blind allegiance to the supremacy of one race over all others. Nothing could be less American.
All right, hit pause. I can't listen any more of this. This is exactly what Macron just said. They're the globalists. They have the Nazi EU system. They're taking over. They funded the Arab Spring to blow away moderate regimes and put in radical Islamic ones.
They're the ones saying you can't have your family, you can't have your free market, you can't be a Christian, you've got to do what we say. Don't use mother and father or boy or girl in school forms. They're the ones saying we can have no identity. And now, as world government's being announced, and as borders are being collapsed by the UN, and hundreds of millions of people are being told migrate to the West so they can come in and use our voting system to absolutely enslave us, they are all over the place demonizing nation states and families and mother and father. Because you can't have a nation state where you have due process and a Bill of Rights and a constitution, or where you paid in money and you get your pension back. No, 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 no. Nationalism is evil. Having countries is evil.
Well, enough of left-wing popular culture here. Let's shift gears and look at where the left gets its power today. Are you naive enough to believe that the left's ongoing crusade to bring ever more desperately poor, uneducated, legal, and illegal immigrants to this country is just because of selfless goodwill and the desire to help these poor souls? No. It's because these people primarily support the left and vote when they become citizens, as well as legally when they are not yet – as illegally when they're not yet citizens. There's growing evidence for this. Here's an article on the subject published just yesterday on Newsmax.com. It's titled, Yes, Illegal Aliens Are Voting. Its author is Tom Fitton, president of the conservative watchdog group Judicial Watch. It begins, it's now officially an issue, Fitton says, illegal aliens are voting. President Donald Trump has announced a major investigation into the charges and countercharges surrounding this phenomenon. At Judicial Watch, however, it's something nothing new. We've had our eye on this for years, and our election integrity project was active in monitoring polling places in the most recent election. He goes on to cite some things that there are as many as 43 million people who are not citizens and are ineligible, thus ineligible to vote in federal elections, but a good percentage of them do register to vote, and of those that do, some vote, he says. He cites a study from Old Dominion University where it says that there are large numbers of people in this country, not citizens, who are voting, or is believed to be voting. And it's not just illegal aliens. We're talking about aliens who are here legally who are also voting illegally, potentially, he added. That's why we're going to be in Virginia trying to monitor elections, because we know this is an issue. This is one of those issues that we can lead to voter fraud and a stolen election. And he talks about this Old Dominion study, which says as many as – in 2016, as many as 1.41 million aliens may have voted illegally, with 1.13 million voting for Democrats. A voter fraud investigation is long overdue, Mr. Fitton said. He goes on. And we have the situation in California where there's more than a million illegal aliens have been issued driver's licenses. The DMV there says they have safeguards in place to prevent that, them from registering to vote and voting. But I don't know that they don't just declare themselves to be citizens and vote anyway via these provisional ballots. As one Democrat official, state official said, they count every vote. Indeed, they do. On the last show, we played a recording of Tom Fitton relating that the state of Texas has recently discovered as many as 100,000 non-citizens were registered to vote in that state, and as many as 60,000 of them had been voting in elections. If the political right, the supporters of Donald Trump, are to win, they're going to have to make a lot of effort to monitor our next elections and look into this matter very seriously. There's no doubt this is going to be a major undertaking. We hope that it does get done. It's a daunting task, and it won't be easy by any means, but we must not fail. The fate of the republic hangs in the balance. Well, my friends, that's it for the show today. Thanks for listening, and look for us 2 weeks from today at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Good night.